This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub, and one third of the MGO Blog Roundtable joins. But I'm like, he seems.
Oh, makes it a line, Sam. It's right. Just a line.
This is an opportunity. Seth says, okay, now I get it's my show.
That's
it's,
right.
It's all me.
How often are we on this show and, like, you know, Craig is going off about 1800s communists or something, and then Brian interrupts because he's got, like, you know, his strong take about it. Actually, Brian always has the same take I do, so I sit back and just, like, let Brian talk, because it's like, well, he just says it better than I do. It's the same thing.
JL on YouTube says Seth finally got rid of him so he can have his day. Right. But listen, I think let's start off. We'll get to some basketball down the line. But it's much happier to talk about Michigan recruiting right now, because, man, Seth, this is how we thought it was going to be last year, right? After they go to the playoff,
right?
This is, you're supposed to get a bounce, a boom, a push off of that kind of success, and it never came. And we could see it right away from the guys. The talent that they had coming through campus, like, man, it's night and day. And now the recruits, now the commitments are starting to come in.
Fascinating thing, though, is it's not coming in for everybody else. There's LSU and Georgia have a bunch of guys in their class right now. And I think Michigan is tied for third, you know, depending on how you count. It's a little weird right now because some guys that they think they used to recruit as preferred walk-ons end up in the class officially as long as they're ranked. Like, it's a little weird. I can't really tell, like, the numbers. But basically, Michigan is recruiting better than anybody right now. And you'd look at, like, how many guys they typically have in a class about now. For a while, classes were building. Like, you look at, like, some of the Brady Hoke years and afterwards, classes were getting up to 13, 14, 15 guys by this point of the year, right? Guys would commit right after signing day for the next class. I think maybe NIL has probably set conversations back. It's just added another dimension to the conversations that people are having. So people were, like, getting nervous that Michigan didn't have a class yet. I'm like, look at everybody else's classes. How many guys does Ohio State have signed? How many guys does Notre Dame have signed? Now, Ohio State got a problem because some of the guys that they figured would sign with them are signing with Michigan. So, you know, you look at, like, the list of, like, guys that Bill Kurlich was saying was going to be with Ohio State, like, at the beginning of the cycle, right? He lists, like, 10 guys. Here's 10 guys Ohio State's going after. Michigan now has, I think, 4 of them committed, and another one of them in Robinson. I kind of figure that's just a matter of time, right? So that's Ohio State's recruiting class right there. There's another guy who ended up going to LSU. So I love not just that we're putting this class together early, but we're putting this class together early at the expense of Ohio State, who usually gets these same guys.
Yeah, man, it's how it was supposed to be. I mean, they as a staff, I mean, you go down the line and guys are Clink's killing it. You look at Sharon just got another offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Jay is always going to recruit. I really like this kid. He has Michigan on Gatlin Bear, who made a huge jump in the rankings.
Yeah,
out of Idaho. Yeah, he's now up to number 40 in the rankings. And this dude is a freak show of an athlete. Like, vertical 40. I heard he beat Roderick Pleasant in the 60, who's one of the fastest players in the country. And this is Idaho. And his coach trainer is Coastin Loveland's former coach.
Right.
So Michigan is looking really, really good with him, thanks to Jay Kirk Campbell.
Yeah.
So it's funny. It's interesting how you look at it, because clearly he is a different kind of recruiter when it comes to engagement with the guys. I wonder how much of the praise that he's getting is the fact that he's just really good, which he is. Mm-hmm. Like, Kirk is an engaging personality. But you wonder how much of it is that versus just it's not Matt Weiss. Like, that's how I feel when I talk to Jaquan Underwood, Bryce Underwood's dad.
Mm-hmm.
I get the impression that he just disliked, you know, Weiss so much that, you know, he could be talking to Seth Fisher and he'd be like, "Yeah, that guy's so much better," kind of thing. Right?
I doubt it. My sympathy for Weiss is that he's probably a lot like Seth Fisher, because like, what am I going to be getting out and playing video games with high schoolers? No, I get awkward as heck talking to high schoolers. Okay. But what, I mean, you want to talk about spreadsheets? You want to talk about breaking down film? Like, I could get super into that. Like, you want to have a conversation about Tom Bombadil and whether he belongs in the Lord of the Rings? I could talk about that. But I don't know how much that registers.
Well, whatever the case, Kirk Campbell is definitely registering, right? And then let's get over to Mike Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had long been the case while we were growing up, Seth, a hallmark of recruiting success for Michigan was, what did you do in Ohio?
Right.
Who did you get out of Ohio? Michigan isn't Michigan without Ohio guys, right? That's just what it is. And so around 2007, so that's what, 5 years into Tressel? Is that 5 years into Tressel? How many years into Tressel is that? Six?
That's 6 years, yeah.
6 years into Tressel.
Year, yeah.
All right, so it's at that point where Tressel finally shuts Michigan out.
Mm-hmm.
Took them 6 years, because in that mix, like in 2003, for instance, Michigan goes and they have a haul. They get, you know, they get Prescott Burgess,
right,
who they beat Ohio State for. They get Sean Crable, who they beat Ohio State for, right? I mean, they had a haul that year. I think the next year
in Massillon. We used to go to Massillon and grab guys, right? Like, that
right,
is, you want to talk about Ohio football. Massillon is Ohio football. And
I mean, Michigan, it was a thing. I mean, top Ohio guys were still coming to Michigan. Mario Manningham in 2004, right? So Michigan is still going down there and getting guys. And in 2007, so Lloyd's last year, his last recruiting class,
mm-hmm,
they get zero players from Ohio. And I remember that, Seth, I remember that being like panic mode. Like, how is Michigan not getting a guy from Ohio? Now, there was intermittent sort of success.
Yeah, Rich Rod went for Ohio. I mean, he went and got Toussaint, and he got Shaw. He got, you know, they went into Roundtree, I think.
JT Turner.
JT Turner
was a guy. But so let me be clear. It's not – so not getting a guy from Ohio, that is the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But now you start to measure – are they getting guys that Ohio State's going after too, right? And so JT Turner was one of those guys. He was a five-star. So Rich, he did some things in Ohio, but by and large, it was not the same. Brady came in, and he changed it around a little bit. So 2012 and 2013, you're getting Wormley. You're getting Devion Smith.
Kalis.
You're getting Kyle Kalis, who had been committed there. Demonte Thomas. You're getting guys that Ohio State won. But my point is, that was like every not just that, it were windows, mm-hmm, but for the last 10 years, Seth, one guy from the state of Ohio that Michigan has gotten that Ohio State had offered. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't get good Ohio guys. Jake Butt didn't have Ohio State offer, right? But
right,
it's noteworthy that Mike Hart was able to go down there and get a guy in Jordan Marshall that was at or near the top of their board.
Yeah. I mean, this is... And I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, this is like going after one of those top guys. This is like back when they used to, you know, Charles Woodson is, you know, coming out of the Toledo area, and it's like, okay, Michigan's got as good of a shot as Ohio State does. That kind of thing has just not happened, right? Ohio State was coming here. They were coming in, they were walking into Cass Tech and taking Mikey Weber, right? So it was happening the other way around. But like the top guys in Ohio, we'd be shut out of, and you're right. Like, we would get a Taco Charlton or Jake Butt that Ohio State overlooked. Eric All's another guy, right? And people would be like, And this will continue to all up until now. Rod Moore is a guy that coaches in Ohio. We're getting on the message boards and yelling at Bill Kurelik, going, hey, how come Ohio State's not offering this guy? And like, well, we got all these five stars from all over the country. And Ohio State's method during this period was, we're going to get the top guys, right? If someone comes out of Glenville, we get West out of, like that guy. Like right. They figure that guy's ours. We're just going to get that guy, just like they've always gotten Ted Ginn, right? Like that some guys are just born to be Ohio State dudes, and that guy born in Ohio, and they're going to get him. But Ohio State has been recruiting nationally and focusing nationally and figuring, I can go back and get these four stars, the top 250 guys, right? The guys in that like 150 to 300 range, right? I can go back and get those guys whenever I want to. I can wait, because the second I offer, Ben Roebuck's coming here. Mm-hmm. Right, and I can kind of slow play Jordan Marshall a little bit. Michigan will waste their time. Yeah. I mean, they're after him. They want that guy, and they're gonna talk to him, and they're gonna have him on there. But like, they don't really figure Michigan's gonna come in and steal that guy. Like, waste your time all you want to, because as soon as we put on the full court press, we're Ohio State, and he's from Ohio, and I think that bit them. I think that maybe, and you talk to these guys more than I do, but I get the sense with this class, the way that the class is talking, the way that these guys are talking to each other, that it's like, hey, Michigan cares about Ohio. And Klingscale has made it very clear that Michigan cares about Ohio.
Yeah, no doubt. He has been a huge part of the Ohio push. He had a hand in Jordan Marshall, but that's Mike Hart.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to make sure that Mike gets the appropriate. Yeah.
Marshall's saying, I love that guy. He's me.
Right. And you know, the anatomy of the recruitment is it really started last spring, last April,
mm-hmm.
where that kid came out of that first visit like, man, I love this dude. I'm really connected with him, really vibing with him. And so that relationship building process has really been a year in the making, a year to get to this point, to the point where he was supposed to visit Ohio State this coming weekend.
Oh.
And so that was my pause coming out of last weekend. So mm-hmm. look, Michigan got a lot of momentum coming out of this big visit weekend, the Jaden Davis weekend, we call it. But you had Blake Frazier on campus, right? You had Brady Priestcorn
mm-hmm.
on campus. Of course, you had Jordan Marshall on campus. And, you know, Michigan's feeling good about all of those guys,
mm-hmm.
like all of them. I was a little reluctant with Jordan Marshall. Not to say that Michigan was in good shape. I thought they were in really good shape. I thought they might maybe had the lead, but with him going to Ohio State, I'm going to pump the brakes before I go crystal ball level, because mm-hmm. that was the kind of talk that was coming out of the weekend. But, I mean, this dude's going to go to Ohio State. You can't crystal ball him before he goes to Ohio State. Seth, he made the call to not go to Ohio State. Like, they were actually – you should check him out. Go ahead, check him out one more time.
Mm-hmm.
He made the call that he wasn't going back to Ohio State. That's just, if you're Ryan Day, if you're a Buckeye fan, I think that's a problem.
I mean, Ohio State could probably look at this and say, all right, Michigan runs the ball. Ohio State doesn't run the ball as much, right? They're a passing team, and their base play is that mesh play where they throw to the running back a lot. But running the ball is Michigan's thing. Running the ball with power, go watch Jordan Marshall's tape. You do not see high schoolers running the kind of offense that they run. They're running power. I'm wearing my run the damn ball shirt right now. I hope that doesn't get you in any trouble. But like that's what Michigan does, right? Like they're running power. And these guys, they're hitting their marks, and Marshall is so good at waiting for that impact, right? This is kind of a thing you see with power teams and power running backs, is it's all about that timing, right? You have to have that patience to sit back there, and then that jolt, that speed. And like it's not necessarily like long speed, it's how fast can you accelerate once that hit happens, because you have a fraction of a second when the offensive lineman impacts the linebacker or the defensive lineman that he's blocking or kicking out, to create just a little bit more space to run through. And a running back who's got a good sense of that timing, just you see them, to a fan perspective, it just looks like he's squirting through the line, like Chris Perry. You'd say, okay, this is just mess, and all of a sudden Perry's through. Perry had that acceleration and that vision eventually. It took him a little while to get that. And Marshall's got that. Like, that's the kind of player you're talking about. And Ohio State can say to themselves, hey, you know, they run, Moeller's running Michigan's offense down there. They're pounding the ball, right? They got four running backs that they give the ball to. Their plan for running is to play off their running game. It's more running. And they're running power. This is the perfect guy for them. Mike Hart is like the perfect personality fit for them. Like, sometimes it's not just the state you're born in that determines where you go to school. So I think as long as, I mean, Michigan, they went for it. Hart did a fantastic job. Sometimes you have to also look at the player himself and say, that's just a really good fit for that school, what they're doing at this time with that coaching staff and what they got going.
Yeah, you're right. this was our contention. Look, you know, Michigan should get blue chip running backs every year. Mm-hmm. With the way they feature the run game, they should be, you know, top 100 backs every year. So I mean, that is a reasonable expectation.
Yeah.
But to grab that guy from Ohio, even with Michigan having more of a run emphasis than Ohio, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Ohio State's recruiting strategy you mentioned in Michigan. All right. Mm-hmm. So the point man of their turn of Ohio State becoming a factor in Michigan was Kerry Combs. He couldn't coach, but the dude could recruit.
Right. Yeah.
And so he would, you know, I remember when he first started showing up in Detroit. I remember hearing from coaches like, man, Kerry Combs is here all day. Like, all day. Like, why is he sitting in Cass Tech before? Like, you gotta jump around.
Yeah.
And that was a Michigan stronghold. Like, Cass Tech guys were going to Michigan, period. Right. Yeah. If they had a Michigan offer, if your name wasn't Vernon Golston.
Up here too. Like, they, you know, Farmington Hills Harrison and West Bloomfield are like, you know, right by me, and then like everyone goes to the same burger place on Orchard Lake afterwards and like chats it out, and like you would see Kerry Combs in there all the time, right? Like it's not hard to recognize. He's got that white gray hair like that sticks
right,
like I'd see him in there all the time because I do my business meetings right there too, so I'm like, oh man why?
and like he there were like four or five like big schools,
mm-hmm.
and he would just post up,
yep,
but like at the end of the week he would post up at those schools, and I was like, why is he doing, especially at Cass Tech, because that's a Michigan school. And I remember talking to one of the coaches, and the coach, it might have been Wilcher, I can't remember, it all runs together. He said, well, I'm gonna spend time here for no other reason to make Michigan work harder in their own yard.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to work harder to keep their own guys than just to expect that I could come and get these guys whenever I want them. That pushes them back a little bit. That helps the Ohio effort too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pushes them back off of your yard. Yeah. They have to spend more time in their own. Now, I don't think that Michigan's emphasis in Ohio is just about that. It's just about, oh, you go there because you want Ohio State. Under Urban Meyer, they said, we got this national thing, and then we could come back and get these local guys. You aren't doing it to elicit that reaction. You're doing it because you think you can have some success in Ohio. I raised that point to say, this is how it starts. This is how it started for Ohio State here in the state of Michigan. They went and they got one guy,
mm-hmm.
and one of the biggest schools that Michigan wanted. And then from that point on, with that barrier being broken down, Michigan had to fight in their own backyard every step. And I think that's where we're at. I'm telling you, Seth, we're going to look back, and this is where we are with Ohio State right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you saw it. It was this class, the 2023 class, where you really saw the, like, and you guys were starting to talk about it. I think we were talking about it off air maybe 2 years ago. You turned to me like, man, I know they don't get any guys in Ohio, but they're planning to this year. They're going into Ohio, and they're not just going to fight for like small time guys. They're going to go fight. But I mean, they're also, you know, they're looking at the Breon Ishmaels and whatever. So it's, Michigan has a pretty big scouting network. They can find guys all over the country. They've gone down the South and they've found guys, right? They'll see guys popping up, and you can find those guys pretty much anywhere. And I do think that if someone was from Ohio, and like it's the same prospect or same ceiling or same kind of, you know, same level, right? And the one guy was from Ohio, one guy was from Mississippi or California or something like that. I definitely think that the last couple years, Michigan said, let's go get that Ohio guy, right?
Yeah, well, and here's another big difference. I mean, how could we got to mention this, because you raise another good point, Seth. You know, there have been years in the past four or five where Michigan is like, okay, we got to get in Ohio. Really, it was when Al was there, when Al Washington was doing some good things in Ohio, right? He had Eric Gall to show for it, but that the prize was Zach Harrison, right? And I think he had overcome a lot with Zach Harrison. Here's the irony. Like, he was recruiting Zach Harrison, and, like, I don't think Zach Harrison's mom really liked Al a ton. Like, they had to overcome that, but he had a great relationship. We can talk about it now.
Yeah.
Like, she actually complained to Harbaugh about how much she didn't like Al. But but the kid loved him. Uh-huh. The kid loved him, right? And what she didn't like was that Al was like, look, just tell me if I'm wasting my time. Because every time he would try to get Zach up on a visit, it was like he has to do this and he has to do that. There was always some sort of derailment.
Right. The state of Ohio was involved in that too. They're like every time, like, oh, Zach, you got a thing. I'm sorry, we're gonna move your meat over to this time over here.
Right. So there was always something, right? And so his point was, look, I got a great relationship with the kid. If you're basically gonna block it, just tell me now, so I'm not wasting my time. So she didn't like that. But the kid was, I mean, he was doing a great job to the point where at the end, he's torn. And he's really, really feeling Michigan. And it's looking like he's going to pick Michigan. They were sweating down there. And then they went on the field and kicked the out of Michigan.
I remember.
And the kid, that was it.
Yep.
Because he was like, man, I can't go to Michigan and get beat. Now, unfortunately for him.
What would be irony, Sam?
Unfortunately for Michigan.
How does it feel?
Ohio State and got beat, right? But he couldn't see that at that point. Now Ohio guys can actually see, man, I could go to Michigan and beat Ohio State. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that as a big factor in this too.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a big factor in the day too, that, you know, you go back and ask Charles Woodson, Marcus Ray said things about this a whole lot, right, on BTN, where when they were recruits and Michigan came down and talked to them, it was like, hey, man, you know, you come up to Michigan, look at our record. Like, that was back when Michigan was beating them every year. And they could go down there and say, like, you know, they can be number two in the country. It doesn't matter. We're just going to run Biakabatuka over their faces. Where do you want to be, right? And I guess Biakabatuka was the year that they came. But, like, the year before, Michigan actually beat them, and they were number two as well in Columbus. And those guys were at the game as recruits. So that was part of the thing. That, like, if Michigan could beat Ohio State, and we were saying it for years during the Harbaugh era, right? In that 2016 game, when they lose, like, by heartbreak, and it's like the referees are screwing us, we're like, man, the difference in, like, these tiny little, you know, whether they call that inch or not, or whether they call the 40 times that they're committing pass interference instead of the one on us. Like, the difference there, if Michigan wins that game, they go to the playoffs, they're in the playoffs, guys who want to play in the playoffs are going to want to play for Michigan, and they can go to Ohio State kids, or got kids in Ohio, and be like, look, we're going to go and beat them, right? And I think you're right, that 2018 game just, that took everything, it took the life out of Michigan, and then Al leaves, and then Madison leaves, and they go to Ohio State too, and like, That was the low point, right? Like, that was the point, like, we can't even show our faces in Ohio after that.
Yeah, it was tough, but it's a new day. This staff is killing. And if they get their quarterback, I have a crystal ball saying, I think my gut tells me they're going to get Jaden Davis.
I like your gut.
My gut tells me that it's going to go down. And I think if and when that happens, Seth, that's the flip. That is the dam breaking.
Yeah.
And I would say that about getting a quarterback in any year, but especially this one where you already have some momentum and you get your five-star quarterback that he's recruit. Here's the thing that's so, like, he's for the past, like, 4 months, he was talking to Nick Harbor about Michigan. Like, he's been recruiting dudes already, you know, without even having announced anything for Michigan. So can you imagine once he's, you know, in the fold? Once he's officially in the fold, that what that could mean for Michigan recruiting, I think it makes it be one of those classes that we look to. It's like, man, that is one of those foundation classes for Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the case, right? Look what JJ did for that class. You know, going back to my year, look what Drew Henson did for our class, right? Like, that class is not coming together I know this is going way back, and no one else in the world remembers 1998 recruiting that well. But like that, they were spinning their wheels in that class, right? There was kind of the sense that like Ohio State had overtaken Michigan. Yeah, we could go down to Ohio and get some guys, but like, you know, is Lloyd Carr going to get fired? Four loss season. Like when that class was coming together, and then that 97 season happens after most of that class had been recruited already. What really shifted it was when. And Michigan was like, and people were like, yeah, they're not going to get him. FSU is going to come in and throw some money at Drew, and then he'll go there, right? That was what everyone kind of thought. Michigan's just way behind the times. And when Drew Henson commits to that class, and then he starts, you know, talking, and he goes and sees Marquise Walker on his own when they throw the ball around, and suddenly Marquise Walker is, you know, on your and right. then they're put talking, there was social media back then, but they're calling David Terrell, right, and saying, hey man, you got to join this too. And now you got like that class came together because of that. And then JJ, my god, like that, you talk about where did Michigan turn around, right? Everyone's saying like, hey, where did we go from 2018 and then where we are now, right? One of the major factors is JJ getting everybody together in the middle of COVID and having everybody on campus, and like that, and like, hey guys, we're going to come win. That kind of confidence, right? Now, I'm not saying Jaden Davis is going to be JJ. That's, you don't get that guy very often. But having that five-star quarterback in the class tells them your time here is going to be great. You're going to be part of something fun, right?
Yep, no doubt. Look, there have been those classes that, after their seeming disaster, they come back, and there have been those foundation classes. I think 2001 was like that, because 2000 it will go down in recruiting history to me as one of those years where maybe the worst year I can remember, where it was just epic loss after epic loss after epic loss. I mean, that was the Travis Johnson year where they're literally waiting on his NLI. Like they postponed the press. I'll never forget this. We were sitting in the press room waiting for Lloyd to come out, and they delayed it because they think Travis Johnson is sending in his letter, and he sends it to Florida State. I mean, there was a kid named Daryl Lee they thought they had. Kwame Harris, who I was talking to Billy Morrison about this last year, who was their recruiting coordinator at the time. They thought they had him. He goes to Stanford.
That
right, Charles Rogers
year as well, was that? Or,
I don't think that was my role year, but it was the Charles Rogers year.
Yeah,
and Freddie J.
They were never getting Charles Rogers though.
they were never going to get him in school. Yeah. But he thought that he was in there with Charles. They didn't get any of those guys, and then they come out the next year to get Marlon Jackson, right? Kelly Baraka was in that class, obviously flamed out, but he was a big timer. Pat Massey was a five-star. Braylon Edwards was an under-the-radar guy in that class. I mean, you had dudes in that 01 class that were a part of the foundation.
Shazor was in that class too.
Ernie Shazor. Man, it was the comeback class. And so it feels like we're in another window. And folks I was looking at folks saying, well, if Jaden doesn't commit on this visit or shortly after, then we just need to expand the board. Like, first of all, pump your brakes. I've been imploring, telling people for months, you don't have to worry about Michigan expanding the quarterback board or not expanding the quarterback board. It will happen if it's necessary in a timely fashion. Your panic and concern is misplaced. They have a different approach and a different coach. These are two important variables. So don't be led astray. Thinking that, oh, it's coming, they're blowing it again. I mean, it's Dante Moore all over again. It was never going to be that.
They just lost their quarterbacks coach, and you want this guy to commit in, what, 2 weeks after, 3 weeks after that happens? Like, how much do you, what are you expecting out of this guy, right?
Come on. Yeah, come on. You're making too much sense, Seth. So I've been telling people, coming off of that, and stipulating what I said is true, just bear with me. And assume for the sake of argument that I'm telling you something that I know, that Michigan was not going to go, you know, past its spring game without expanding its quarterback board unless it had reason to think they were okay. So just assume have a gut feeling that I know what I'm talking about, all right? If they haven't expanded their board right now, shouldn't you be celebrating? Shouldn't you be celebrating? I
don't celebrate. I don't even bother with the NLI now because they can transfer out. And then I celebrate when the guy's on the field, right? Like JJ's sophomore year, he beats out. I'm like, yes, we got the guy. We finally have him, right? That's when I celebrate. I don't trust anything until then because college football is so weird. But like getting that 5-star in the class, I understand why the impatience. People want the 5-star quarterback in the class because they want the 5-star quarterback going out and building the class. I think that what they need to understand is if you look at everyone else's classes right now, Georgia's recruiting well, why not? They won a couple national championships, right? Like they're looking good, right? So Georgia is doing well. LSU is doing really well. You know, they got their system down. And Michigan's number 3 right now, I think, in the 24/7 rankings, right? So that's where we're at. Classes are not coming together at the rapidity that they were a few years ago. And it's probably NIL that's changed the conversation a little bit. The fact that you can transfer afterwards probably maybe shifts where schools are looking because they can look in the portal now too, as well as – so they're not moving on guys so fast because they need someone to fill a spot. They're going to fill the spots on the field this year with the portal. And I think that a lot of schools are looking more like we're going to fill the future with our recruits. So I think that's changed a lot of things. I think classes are smaller because of the portal. So like actually fewer freshmen are going to get – and more good freshmen are probably going to fall down to lower classes. So when Michigan identifies guys that they want and they're going for those guys, Michigan's a really good opportunity, especially if you're a running back or an offensive lineman right now. I think that they're in really good shape, and they're in good shape because of the program that they are right now. And I'm not worried at all. Like they're doing just fine for where you're supposed to be at this point.
Don't panic, people. I'm just telling you. It was never going to be the Dante Moore over again, ever. That was never a concern. If it's necessary to expand the board, they will expand the board in the timely fashion. If you don't see them expanding the board, that's not a sign that they don't know what they're doing. Okay? Yeah. Just stop it. We got to get to a break.
Okay.
So have you seen this? I haven't watched BJ Mack film. Have you watched any BJ Mack film, Seth?
I haven't. I got the scouting report and I pulled his stats. Our guy Matt D has watched this film. Very interesting guy for Michigan.
All right.
He rebounds.
He said Juwan's recruiting him. Juwan's all over him. So
yeah. Well, I just read one of the 24. I forgot who wrote the article, but someone did one of those 24/7. Yeah. Where it's like, hey, give me a quote about the 10 schools that are recruiting you. And I always love those because I like take them and just pick them apart. Like, okay, let's see how he's talking about each school. And like, they're always nice. They're always like, but and they're always on the same level, right? But he is so detailed about every school he's talking about. And you can't really tell the difference between, because he's so detailed about all of them. He knows the coaches, he knows where they're from and everything. And then he gets to the last bit and they ask him, like, what's going to determine you? And it's like all Michigan talking points, right? It's like, you've been through Michigan recruitments before. You know what they talk to about guys, right? They, like, you know, the people love playing for the coach. He treats his players right, right? The education, the after school, like, you know, you're coming here and we're talking about 40-year plan. Like, anytime a kid talks about a 40-year plan, you know, right, Michigan's been at him, right? And that's what I saw. And the other schools in his list, like, there's no Kansas or Kentucky or, like, some of the schools that, like, when they get in there, you're like, oh, no, right? Duke's not on that list right now. So I think I'm not saying we're going to get the guy, but I'm very interested because he brings a lot of the things that Michigan doesn't have. He shoots from outside. He can play the 4. He can probably guard 2 to 5, and he gets in there and rebounds. And those are some aspects that Michigan just not has. That's what they needed this year, right? They didn't have that 4. So
yeah,
they got to get somebody. And I think he's a pretty good candidate.
Yeah. Darren is asking me, can we expect that Jaden announcement soon? Should you expect a Jaden announcement soon? I don't know. Should you expect a Jaden announcement, Darren? I mean, I would expect that he'll, you know, he's contemplating an announcement. I would expect that. So Hopefully you can read between the lines.
I'm and Sam, now, it's not related to Jaden Davis, but Jason does want to know, since it's the theme here, who's committing today? That's what Jason wants to know.
Right. There's somebody every day, man. Like,
but Jaden's not from Ohio, so he wouldn't fit in the bill.
Right.
Coming today, Sam.
I mean, I would love it if Jaden, I would love it if Jaden announced today. I would love that. That would be very, very convenient for me, but I don't expect that to be the case. I'll just say this. There's every reason to be confident in Michigan's position with Jaden Davis. Extremely confident. And from the standpoint of recruiting, like, is Michigan losing ground when it comes to his potential impact as a recruiter by not having him officially in the fold? The dude has been recruiting for months. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking to Brian Robinson about him, and he tells Brian Robinson on a visit, I want you to play with me, not against me, on the Michigan visit. Like, he's not talking about another school. He's calling Nick Harbor, talking about Michigan, right? I say that to say he's already recruiting. Now, if he goes someplace else, I mean, I guess it's obviously not for Michigan, but I don't think that Michigan is losing anything from a timing perspective when it comes to the timing of his announcement.
Back on radio in about 1 minute, guys.
I say, just be patient. Don't panic. And when I tell you something and I put a gut feeling on it, relax. Relax.
I'm just riding the show here right now, man. This is,
I don't throw gut feelings out there, you know.
No, we
just willy nilly.
Yeah, no. Everyone knows gut feeling means for you. Just like, you know, when Steve Lorenz's thing is, I wouldn't be surprised if, right? Like, everyone's got their thing. I need a thing. Yeah. I need to come up with one.
I have a thing, Seth. It's called Ask Sam.
Yeah.
And we are back folks here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub, and Seth Fisher holding it down for the entire roundtable today. And as such, Seth, if I have a hockey question, because we cover hockey every week. Mm-hmm. I start off with Spath. You guys are in between, and I finish off the week talking Michigan hockey with John Bacon, typically about the same topic. So the one this week is, what do you make of Eric Portillo? You remember when he was recruited? I mean, he was part of this epic. This was a stand on his head type of goaltender. At least that's what he was projected to be. Now, it hasn't quite been that. And, you know, the knock on Michigan is defense. But you have a goaltender that can be an eraser. That can make up for a lot defensively, right? Do you think Eric Portillo can be that guy here in the postseason? Do you think he can be that guy before his career is over?
Yeah, Michigan doesn't need him to stand on his head. They need him to stand on his feet. Because Portillo has just this tendency to just, like, he'll go down and then he, like, flops around. He's been getting better about this. But, like, look at last year. He was amazing. He was one of the top goaltenders in the country last year. And understand what Portillo is. He's big. He is a big, big guy. And big really helps. It's like being a 6'8" offensive tackle. It helps, right? Like, you can just start with that, and that gives you a lot of wiggle room. Because he goes down, and there he is. Now, he's never wanted to be that just butterfly goalie who just sits there and acts big, right? He challenges puck. He likes to play the puck. I can't think of a guy who likes to play the puck as much as he does, given his skill level with playing the puck. It's always, like, a little dodgy, right? Like, Shields would go and play the puck, but, like, he looked like a defenseman when he did it. Like, this is maybe Al Montoya. I'm trying to think of, like, another guy who did it, or Blackburn. Maybe he did it, too. But, yeah, he's – I think part of the problem is that Michigan right now doesn't have a goalie coach, right? That whole thing went down with Shields, which is part of the whole Mel Pearson story. Yeah. And out of it, Michigan doesn't have a coach. Now, this is part of just how – we can complain for days about how hockey is run and how, like, the small schools, we get to make all the rules. And one of the rules is just there's not enough coaches. There's just not enough coaches' spots. So you use a spot on the coach for goalie, and you don't have a guy for your defense, or you don't have a guy for your offense, right? There's not a whole lot of space because you only get a couple assistants. So that probably has affected things, because there's nobody just watching film on Portillo, and he's the goalie right now, and saying, here's what you got to work on, here's you got to calm down. And so I think he just gets a little out of his game. And when he's on his game, he's awesome. And he's been awesome last year. When he gets out of his comfort zone, he gives up big rebounds, he gives up he starts flopping around on the ground, and one night he loses his stick. But that's been getting better.
Yeah, it's you touched on a point that Nathan Culver on YouTube, it just as you were saying it, he was asking a question. Do you think no goalie coach is playing into his slow progression, talking about Eric Portillo? And then he asks, is that a knock on Nerado? And I just don't know how much room he had to fill that void. It's all kind of, I mean, was there much of an opportunity for him to go and get a goalie coach?
No, and you know what Michigan's done historic, like in the past, with that problem, that goalie coach problem, is just not pay the guy, like some get like a volunteer coach, right? And that's kind of hard to get, right? Like, people deserve to make a living wage doing what they're doing. So having somebody who, you know, Shields made some good money in the NHL, so he's okay. But it's hard to get a guy who can go, who's just going to want to do it for free, right? And so every college hockey team has some hole in their coaching because they just don't have enough coaches. And, you know, getting a goalie coach, they'll get somebody. But that's not on Nerado. Like, Nerado, he's an interim coach. Like, you want him, you're going to complain about, like, how he structured his coaching staff? Like, he got named the interim coach, right? We can talk a little bit about Nerado, but, you know, I think he's just done an amazing job in the back half of this season. And that Minnesota game, you know, you want to talk about a coaching job. That, you know, when a coach has gone and identified what you can do to mess with a team, oh my God, it was just brilliance. Minnesota is one of the best skating teams out there. They're one of the best defensive teams out there. They have old defensemen who are going to the NHL, and they're smart with the puck, and they're athletes. Nobody would ever think to go and pressure those guys. And so guess what? They haven't practiced it. They're not ready for it. They're not expecting it. And so what does Michigan do? They've got all these skaters. They go and they hit them. They put three guys into the zone when Minnesota's trying to get the puck out. I love it. I love it. Nerado, I love it.
Does Michigan beat Colgate real quick?
Yeah. All yeah, right. Colgate, no problem. Just hope they don't get Michigan Tech because those games don't score.
All right, that'll do it for us, folks. The Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.